on tonight's episode of the Block Report, we will be discussing more recent news. Unfortunately, it's the type of news that has become practically part and parcel of the everyday news cycle and in America's tense racial environment. It's starting to be, it's more and more of the norm. And I'll be discussing, bringing out some pointers, some points to you as to why it basically continues and you see the same stories going on or the same cycle of events happening over and over, and how some of the same players, show up again and again whenever a black man is brutalized, mistreated, harmed, an unarmed black man harmed and killed. And it's not just men, it's women as well. As we have, as people have heard, some of you may have heard of Sandra Bland, and there's been others, and as most recently, Breonna Taylor. If that's her name, I want to make sure I have to say the sister's name correctly. And we had also Atiana Johnson as well. So, I will check to make sure I said all of these individuals' names correctly and make any corrections afterwards. The thing is that it starts to happen so frequently and often. Not saying, so I don't want to put any disrespect on anyone's name. Yes. Okay. That it becomes a blur. And it becomes a blur in a way because it's the same cycle of events over and over. And even for the community as a whole, it's the same cycle of events. There's that moment of outrage, anger, emotional feeling, and at times helplessness. And then you vent and get whatever you do by vent, get it out of your system by venting, until the next incident comes along and you go through the cycle again. And some of you have possibly become so desensitized to it that your whole thing is, well, especially those that like to come up with reasons why or what they should have done in order to not get themselves killed by the police. And such deflections and dubious comments such as, well, we gotta treat each other better. If we start treating each other better, then we can't be talking about them doing us wrong if we ain't treating each other better. We gotta do better. One thing has nothing to do with the other. You just don't want to face up to the fact that you're in a battle, in a conflict with a system that protects savages, murderers, hate mongers, and the victims they love to display their savagery on and do consistently is black people, because the legal system has shown that either you could be an officer or you could be deputized, a neighborhood watch person, and you could kill men, women, and children that are black, and there are no consequences for you. The prosecutors won't even bring them up on charges unless you force their hand to. Unless they're forced to by media and political pressure, usually, mostly political pressure, and then they bring up some charge and they create a way for the individuals to get off. And slip free of the charges. And they say, oh, well, we tried, but we just couldn't pin the charges on him. You had it on video, and you couldn't prove that he was guilty. You have a clear statement from the individual saying, I'm going to kill this bastard, and you couldn't prove that he was guilty. I thought, as prosecutors, as they said, it's been said a prosecutor can indict a ham sandwich, but they just sure can't indict or get a conviction against a race killer in a uniform. That seems very difficult. Now, there may have been one or two that those situations happen, but usually the only time before now, in particular, you had the Amber Geiger case, but that was under a lot of scrutiny and a lot of pressure. And even still, she got off with a 5-year sentence, and you probably wouldn't have gotten any time except for the amount of outside community pressure and the amount of visibility it had in the public, because the family was too busy forgiving her and wanted to hug up on her and all of this stuff and want to pray with her. You know who, you know, there was a young man that walked into a church and a young demonic savage walked into a church, and the church people wanted to pray with him too, took him in and went to pray with him, and the gift that he gave them for them welcoming him and sharing their words of prayers and in worship was to slay them, to gun them down in the church and kill every single one of them. And you want to pray with the person who kills your family member? What kind of sick individual are you? What kind of mental sickness are you suffering from? Okay. You know, I am taking my time to be measured in this broadcast, because emotions and reckless emotions is not helpful. You need to be able to direct your energy and your emotion to where it will be most useful and effective. And I'm saying this because there will be things that I'm going to be saying tonight that you should take heed of and apply what I just said in all those matters when I get to them. See, emotion is good at times. Some people can use emotion good. Yeah, especially anger. Anger can get your strength up, and you could get riled up, and then you can try to lift that person's boot off your neck. But emotion can also get you blind. Can have you blinded. As you get too emotional, you're not focused. You're not focused. You don't pay attention. You end up having blind spots. You need to focus your energy and your emotion into being a calculated, methodic, purposeful, determined individual. Determined to have results. Going to, here we have an article from the New York Times, not the most, to me, responsible or respectable newspaper, but we're going to read some of what they've written about this latest incident, which has happened in Minneapolis. The article says, titled, "What We Know About the Death of George Floyd in Minneapolis." Mr. Floyd died after being handcuffed and pinned to the ground by an officer's knee. In an episode that was recorded on video by a bystander, inciting condemnation and protests. George Floyd, a 46-year-old African-American man, died on Monday after being handcuffed and pinned to the ground by a police officer's knee in an incident that was recorded on video and that incited large protests in Minneapolis. The explosive footage, recorded by a bystander and shared widely on social media early Tuesday, led to community outrage. An FBI civil rights investigation and the firing of the officer and three colleagues who were also at the scene. So, the police officers who were involved have been fired, but not charged. On Wednesday, the Minneapolis Police Department identified the fired officers as Derek Chauvin, Thomas Lane, Tothao, and J. Alexander Quang. Mr. Floyd's relatives have said that the officers should be charged with murder. They treated them worse than they treat animals. Philonise Floyd, Mr. Floyd's brother, said on CNN. They took a life. They deserve life. Mayor Jacob Frey of Minneapolis was quick to condemn the officer's actions, and on Wednesday he called on prosecutors to file charges against the officer who had his knee on Mr. Floyd's neck. "I want to see a charge take place," Mr. Frey said at a news conference, without specifying what charge he thought was warranted. "I want to see justice for George Floyd." Representative Ilhan Omar, who this representative, well, let me finish reading the article and then I'll go into about her. A lot of you, well, let me say this really quickly. She has been in the news earlier on. She was one of those four females that came into the that were in the recent election in 2018 that came in, and I forgot they had a name for them, and it was this particular group, and they were considered these progressive females for the Democratic Party that was showing a new face of the Democratic Party and what the Democratic Party could look like, blah 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 blah. And but she got into it a little bit, because a lot of them were, not just her, but she was just like some of the other ones, were throwing jabs, verbal jabs at Donald Trump and such. And, you know, they got into their verbal political spars or whatever and stuff like that, if you could call it that. But whatever, she basically just showed that she was not on his side, and he showed that he had no favor for her either, and that's how they kind of and got her name in the news like that. But then she's been very quiet lately, because she's also made some choice statements in the past and did certain kind of things that the media kind of did not agree with, and then, you know, all kinds of things. But you can follow her and deal with that. That when it's not about her right now, but if you've heard her name, if not, you can look her up. A Democrat whose congressional district includes Minneapolis tweeted on Wednesday. Yes, and she has a Twitter account, so you can check her Twitter account and you can find everything there as far as that goes with what's going on with her, that the officer should be charged with murder. What we know about Mr. Floyd's death. Mr. Floyd grew up in Houston and was a high school sports star. That has nothing to do with his death. The original police report said Mr. Floyd had resisted arrest. That has nothing to do with it. You know, they have to try to sully. See, a lot of the times the media works with the police and the prosecutors by trying to investigate the victim instead of the suspect whenever it comes to a racial killing, especially when the victim is a black person and the suspect, the perpetrator, is a non-black individual. The video shows the aftermath of the arrest, where Mr. Floyd pleading that he can't breathe. Four officers have been fired and the FBI is investigating. Mr. Floyd's relatives are pushing for murder charges. Police use tear gas and other means to break a protest in Minneapolis. Okay, so they go in to talk about his, you know, his time as a high school football star and other, and this information and such. That stuff is great. I'm not discounting that. But I want to keep this really focused on the facts of what happened on the day in the incident, during the incident that happened that day. His time when he was in high school or whatever he did, his past should have nothing to do with what the perpetrator did to him on that day. Whether he worked or not, it has nothing to do. He didn't kill anyone, so we don't have to judge or weigh whether or not he was a good person or not, or whether he deserved it or not. We have the fact that he was detained, placed in handcuffs, and then a savage with a badge and a uniform and a gun rested his knee on his neck for several minutes, choking this man out to his death. The arrest of Mr. Floyd took place on Monday evening. The Minneapolis Police Department said in a statement that officers had responded to a call about a man suspected of forgery. The police said the man was found sitting on top of a blue car and appeared to be under the influence. He was ordered to step from his car, the department statement said. After he got out, he physically resisted officers. Officers were able to get the suspect into handcuffs and noted he appeared to be suffering medical distress. The statement said an officer had called for an ambulance. On Tuesday morning, without referring to the video recorded by a bystander, the police updated a statement titled, "Man Dies After Medical Incident During Police Interaction," saying that additional information had been made available. Yeah, the video got out. That's the additional information. And that the FBI was joining the investigation. If there was no video out, do you think they would have changed their statement? The video shows the aftermath of the arrest, with Mr. Floyd pleading that he can't breathe. The bystander video shows a white Minneapolis police officer pressing his knee into a black man's neck during an arrest as the man repeatedly says, "I can't breathe," and "please, I can't breathe." The video recorded in Minneapolis on Monday shows that after a few minutes, the man lying face down in the street with his hands cuffed behind his back becomes silent and motionless. The officer continues to pin the man to the pavement with his knee. Bystanders plead and curse. Now, the whole thing is, what form of police strategy or policing are we conducting here? By pinning people down who are already handcuffed, pinning them down with your knee on their neck where they breathe. This is what you must understand. These guys are becoming even more creative with how savage they are and how savagely they decide to take a life. See, what needs to be understood here is that you can't just be upset or disturbed by this situation and you running around and you're chanting a slogan. You need to come to some sort of action or a policy that you want to be pushed. So you're talking, you're letting the Democrats come out to you and tell you about go vote for what? What you do is, you want my vote, I got a policy. I have a rule that needs to be instituted and put in place for my protection and my family's protection. Do that. Do these things. You want my vote, do what I need to be done for me to feel safe and feel like you are doing something for me. I don't need to hear no crap about no police reform, which is basically where you go ahead and give or retraining, where you're giving my tax dollar monies to these police departments and while they continue to hire and protect these savages. Don't tell me no crap. No. What has to be done is that punishment. There needs to be punishment for these acts, and that's it. Real punishment. You see, if you're, whether you're a political official or you're the mailman, or you're a mechanic, if you commit a crime, then you must be punished under the law. And those that are entrusted with the public trust and have the ability to take life because they have weapons should be held to a higher standard than a regular citizen who doesn't have an oath that they need to carry to protect and serve, who doesn't have a responsibility to answer the call of the community when they are in need of help, but they come and terrorize the community instead. No, they need to be held to a higher standard and be held to punishment under the law. That is what needs to happen. And until that happens, there will be unrest. Another thing I noticed, no disrespect to Mr. Floyd's family, I noticed that they have brought in an individual by the name who claims he's representing the family, Mr. Benjamin Crump. The same guy who we first knew of and met during the Trayvon Martin tragedy. And what I'm saying is that it's the same individuals that pop up, the same role players that keep popping up. Now, why would you want to get involved with this individual? He's not going to get any punishment for you for the police officers. He's not about that. Now, he can help you negotiate a deal, maybe, and get a settlement from the city. That's what he'll be able to help you with. That's what he's looking to do. This guy couldn't fight his way out of a legal paper bag with scissors in his hands. This guy is about making deals. And what you have to understand that it's the same players that keep showing up every time incidents like these occur. Another one of them years ago was an Al Sharpton. It was the same people every time something went down. And it basically came out that he was an informant for the FBI. And he was someone that was used by the government. Every time a certain situation came up, they call him in and tell the people, oh no, get them to calm down. Oh no, we don't need to. We gotta do a march or a rally. We don't need to express our anger with physical or any sort of violence or anything like that. We do a march, we're gonna march and whatever and all this nonsense. Now, the thing is this, it's said that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. How long have they been using this same tactic of blabbing their mouth, stamping their feet, asking people to be nicer to them? And what has that given you? So, what you need to be aware of, what you should be starting to be aware of and see, is that there are certain players that pop up every time. And once you see certain players pop up, be aware and conscious of the fact that it's about to be some BS that's going down. So if you're looking for these individuals like a Crump and such to bring about any sort of change or to influence any sort of punishment to be brought down on these officers, this individual, this savage, you're expecting the wrong thing. He's there to negotiate a settlement. And then have the family go up on TV or something or give some interview, and somebody's going to talk about how they forgive the police officer. Now, let me get back here to the article a little bit, and there's a couple of other things that we're going to get into as well. There was a protest. I saw the footage. If you want to see the footage, you can, there's a TV station out there in Minneapolis called WCCO, and that's where the mayor had did his press conference. Mayor Jacob Fry did his press conference calling for the officer to be charged. And in his mind, what he said was, based on what I saw in the video, I saw that this man should be charged with a crime. Now, he didn't say what crime. He did mention murder, but he didn't say to what degree of murder and such. But he did mention that based on what he saw, there was a crime. And he even stated that that the technique of pinning his knee on the man's neck is not a justifiable or correct technique, or is one that is sanctioned by their police procedures and rules and policies. So, I'm not going to talk about what is at the very least, because at the very least means nothing. We are going for the top, okay? We're going for the top. Now, which means we want full punishment under the law. A conviction for this police officer and such. Now the part about, I notice, you see, because when they write this article here, they keep wanting to talk about the part about I can't breathe, please, I can't breathe. Sure, that was what Mr. Floyd was saying on the video and such, which is reminiscent of Eric Garner out in Staten Island, New York. Now, let's go. The thing is, once you don't handle things correctly, they're bound to repeat themselves. The only thing that is different here is that this mayor comes out and calls for the police officer to be charged, which he says is up to the county prosecutor to do. So it's not up to him. And he, in his press conference, I believe he held it on Wednesday or Tuesday. I think it was Wednesday this evening. And he was very careful in the choice of his words because he said he didn't want to say anything that might possibly derail the investigation, the case, as far as having the charges brought on. However, it's interesting, he's calling for charges, but the FBI has been brought into the situation as well already. So even if he didn't call for it, just for the fact that the FBI is doing an investigation, because Trump has come out and announced that he made the decision to have the FBI investigate and whatnot, it would look bad for the mayor himself not to be out there making, not doing his due diligence and come out there and say something to move the needle forward with bringing this police officer to face the legal system for his crimes and for his actions. The video, so let's get back to reading some more of this article, and then we'll move forward from there. The video recorded in Minneapolis on Monday shows that after a few minutes, okay, I read this part already. Bystanders plead and curse, begging the officer to stop and telling him the man's nose is bleeding. Another officer faces the people gathered on the sidewalk. An ambulance medic arrives and, reaching under the officer's knee, feels for a pulse on the man's neck. Now listen, why would the ambulance medic just reach under his knee and not say, yo, get your knee up off the man? See what I'm saying? What purpose? You see the guy's not moving, but the officer's just there resting his knee on him. Think about this. What kind of savages are we operating with here? The medic turns away and a stretcher is wheeled over. The arrested man is then rolled onto the stretcher, loaded into an ambulance, and taken away. The video did not show what happened before the officer pinned the man to the ground by his neck. Mr. Fry, the Minneapolis mayor, said on Tuesday that he did not know how the initial police statement describing a medical incident had come to be written, but he said he wanted to be absolutely as transparent as possible. It's the kind of thing where you don't hide from the truth. You lean into it because our city is going to be better off for it, no matter how ugly, awful it is, he said. If it points out the institutional racism that we are still working through right now, well, good. It means that we've got a lot of work to go. That's from the mayor, Jacob Fry of Minneapolis. He had also made a statement about the protest that happened around the precinct out there in Minneapolis, which I was able to see some footage of, and the people were out there turning up, and in my opinion, rightfully so. And he mentioned, because the police then came out in their riot gear, they started tear gassing the people and this and all this stuff. One of the there was a guy who was taking the footage, who I saw the footage from, he was from that same TV station out there, because you hear him on the camera, you hear him on the video say, I'm from WCCO, I'm from WCCO. He was scared. You could hear in his voice, he was scared. He did not want the police to start getting in his behind. And they started to tell him, well, get out of here. Get out of here. Because they don't want you filming their dirty works. And my guy, he ran and shut his camera off. Now, the mayor says that basically the decision for the police response to that incident came from the chief, and basically he trusted the chief's opinion and decision, and so he, of course, he doesn't want to take any responsibility for that, because as being a mayor and a political official, outside of whatever, I don't know this man personally, and I don't know his works to a detail so where I could give a profile of whether or not he seems to be good or bad one way or the other. But as being a politician, they generally, they'll take all the credit for when something good is going on and they did something that they know they can get praise for. But if it's something that the optics don't look right, they pass the buck and they'll put it on somebody else. However, it is definitely possible that the police chief definitely said, yeah, we can handle it this way. And he said, okay, well, I'll go with what you say. But the mayor is like the CEO of the city. He's the chief executive. The police chief or head of police, that's his guy. He appoints him. He basically has the police chief carry out his policy or become the law enforcement arm or the enforcement arm of what his policies that he has in the city are. So it's one of those relationships. But at times, if it doesn't look right and it looked like you used force on the people and you don't really want it to be that I'm the one that made the call to have force used on the people, because I still got to try to get to be mayor again the next election cycle, or I might have other political aspirations, become the governor or the senator, it's not going to look too good if it comes out that I basically called for the people to be tear gassed. So just keep that in mind. Four officers have been fired and the FBI is investigating. On Tuesday afternoon, Mr. Fry tweeted that four officers involved in the case had been terminated. This is the right call, he said. The police department statement said that no weapons had been used and that the officers' body cameras were recording. Mr. Fry said at a news conference on Tuesday that he had seen the video taken and posted by a civilian, but not the body camera footage. He said he had asked the FBI to investigate. Okay, so he asked the FBI. That's what he said. Okay. And in a statement, but Trump came out and said he told the FBI to go ahead and investigate. So which one was it? Everybody's trying to get on it and say that they was get in on the story and say that they did the right thing. But okay. Or they called the FBI in or whatever. So, and in a statement posted on social media said, being black in America should not be a death sentence. I will say this. The guy, to a degree, he's talking. The way he's talking, that's why I said, you know, it's a lot different from some of these other racist bastards that are out there that are in position. I would say he's trying to come across as being sincere about where he's coming from. But as I said, I don't know, and I'm very skeptical about politicians. For 5 minutes, we watched a white officer press his knee into a black man's neck. 5 minutes. Now, what I want to say also is that the people that sat there and recorded it and watched it for 5 minutes, that's crazy. Like, if you don't start making some noise, causing some kind of situation to do something so he could get his knee up over that dude's neck, then what are you there for? And that's another thing. Y'all got to stop just being out there holding up your phone and recording. You got to start doing something, taking real action. I don't care if it's you. You know what I'm saying? You you run behind something and throw a rock over there or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't want to, if you see something going on, you got to get into action mode and do something to break it up. You don't just sit there and record them like, oh, that's terrible. Sit there yelling and screaming like a woman. I got to get that energy up out of you. You got to start getting that active energy up in you. The FBI is conducting a federal civil rights investigation, the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension said in a statement. The State Bureau also said that it was conducting its own investigation at the request of the police department and that it would release its findings to the Hennepin County District Attorney's Office. The Police Officers Federation of Minneapolis did not immediately respond to a request for comment on Tuesday, but the head of the union said in a statement to the local news media that people should not rush to judgment while the investigation is going on. Our officers are fully cooperating. What other judgment can you have when you see somebody sitting on somebody's neck? Listen. What other judgment do you have when you see somebody sitting on somebody's neck for over 5 minutes and then the person ends up dead? So if it wasn't you that killed them, then the hospital killed them, wherever they took them to. The ambulance killed them. Because none of you were doing anything. In that case, you did whatever you did. You started the process, started putting this man into severe medical danger by putting your knee on his neck. You put the man in severe danger under what auspices? And we need to do an investigation. Yes, you need to do an investigation, but there are no facts that are going to come out that's going to go ahead and say, oh, well, that explains it. That makes sense. Yeah, he had to keep his knee on his neck for over 5 minutes. He had to put his knee on his neck with him handcuffed and being face down. What facts are you going to come up with that's going to justify that? What information, what more do you need that's going to come out that will justify that? You see, these savages, these bastards, they're very tricky. And they think that you're stupid. And they think they can tell you anything and you'll just go for it. But you gotta stop. You gotta stop trying to be a bystander in this world. And start standing for something and standing on it. See, Obama told y'all, be the change. You be the change, or be the change you want to see, all that, because he wasn't going to change nothing for you. But what he told you when he said be the change, or whoever came up with this phrase, is a real thing. You got to start taking responsibility and getting into action. Now, you go up, you're going to go, and, you know, that's the thing. You see something, and then you go cry to the people. You go cry to the people that are basically the brothers, the cousins, the sisters, the uncles, the wives, the fathers of the same people that's doing you harm. That don't make no sense. That's why we have to start working with each other and looking out and watching out for each other and get off that plantation thinking, that stinking thinking. Because you just want to be as close as possible to these savages, and you don't understand they don't care nothing about you. and you think it's all about political party. You fool. You are really a fool. I ain't never been part of no political party. I use my own mind. I think for myself. And I know what I want to see for myself. I'm not going to be shamed into voting for nobody. I'm not going to be bullied into believing whatever the hell you want to believe in. No. If this is the road I go and I gotta go it alone, I go it alone. Because what that president said? He said there's nothing to fear but fear itself. And that's the whole thing. You're scared. So I stopped reading the article and I'm looking here. I'm going to give other tidbits of statements or little statements from other political people here. I notice here we have Amy Klobuchar, who's the senator from the Democrat senator. Oh, the mayor from Minneapolis. Mayor of Minneapolis. He's a Democrat as well. Not that that matters to me, but just for context, I guess, for those of you that might be interested. So she came out with a statement on the officer involved at the Minneapolis. And you got, one thing you guys got to remember is that, let me just put this out there too before I read this. I understand too that the media likes, or the media knows that these types of stories are hot button stories. They're the hottest stories they can put out, especially when it's a non-black individual killing a black individual. And when I say non-black, because you had someone like a Peter Liang in New York who killed a Kai Gurley in a dark hallway, just shot off his gun and killed this man who had a young child, a baby, I believe. And they, even though he was convicted of killing the guy, I don't recall what exactly the charges were. I don't think they really got him on murder one, because his sentence was something like 6 months probation, and I don't see how you could get 6 months probation on murder one. I believe it was like manslaughter or something like that that he had got, manslaughter or negligent homicide, reckless homicide, some trickery term or something. And then the Brooklyn DA at the time, who is no longer with us, then went to the judge and requested that he did, that Peter Liang did do, would not, to not do any time. So it's not just white officers or white people. As I said, when it's a non-black individual murdering and killing a black individual, it tends to make the news and they put that stuff out there, because they know it'll generate a certain amount of outrage and interest, and that'll get people watching them consistently. But my thing is that, aren't you exhausted from being outraged? What is it going to take for you to actually demand, insist, and enforce your will upon these public officials to do what's right? Okay, my time is running short, so I may not be able to get to this statement from Amy Klobuchar, but let me try to read it quickly. We heard the repeated calls for help. We heard him say over and over again that he could not breathe. And now we have seen yet another horrifying and gut-wrenching instance of an African-American man dying. Every single person in every single community in this country deserves to feel safe, as the mayor of Minneapolis noted. This tragic loss of life calls for immediate action. There must be a complete and thorough outside investigation into what occurred, and those involved in this incident must be held accountable. Justice must be served for this man and his family. Justice must be served for our community, and justice must be served for our country. That's the statement from Amy Klobuchar, the Democratic Senator of Minnesota. Anyway, my time is running out, and this will be the end of our episode, our broadcast tonight. You've been listening to The Block Report. I am your host, Tafari XL. You can find The Block Report broadcasting on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and all your other favorite podcasting networks. You can also contact the podcast page on Facebook at facebook.com/ The Block Report. You can like, share, comment, and do as you like. I really hope that you have been inspired by what you've heard tonight to take action and to use your energy and your emotion in a useful and effective way to get real results. Because does it make sense to scream your lungs out, stamp your feet, and come back to do this again in another 30 to 90 days for someone else? When you get results and they realize that punishment is the price for taking a life of a black person, then you won't have to come outside screaming your lungs and stamping your feet, asking for justice. It will be done. Thanks again for listening to the broadcast. I'm your host, Tafari XL. You've been listening to The Block Report. As I said, you can find the broadcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, and all your favorite podcasting networks. Be safe, be well, be you, be dope, be different, be aware, be prepared, and always, always be yourself and do your best. Till next time.